Man, well, that was good, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. I love that song, love that cantata, and I love that truth. Every time I hear that cantata, I think, I wonder what the next verse will be if we'll sing that in heaven, because he's going to come. And we'll have to write that next verse about him coming the next time. We'll sing it for all eternity, and we'll praise the Lord because Jesus came. Amen. He just keeps coming. He keeps helping us out and bailing us out of our messes. And thank God he bailed us out of a place called hell. Amen. Glory to God. What a great truth. I love it. Amos chapter 8. Should have given you that a while ago so you could be looking for it. Amos chapter 8, page 1414 in your super giant print Bible. If you have one of those. Amos, chapter 8. It's fun to watch people try to find. See, smart people just stopped. Wherever you are, you'll look later when you can look at the table of contents. Amos 8 and verse 11. I want to talk to you tonight about the worst kind of famine. The worst kind of famine. There are those, of course, that I believe that global warming is going to cause a famine. There are those that believe terrorism is going to cause a famine. There are those that believe that just the sins of man is going to cause a famine. Certainly famines have come, famines have gone. There has been many, many kinds of famine, and I don't doubt that famine, there's famines in other parts of the world even as we speak. Certainly a famine could come here. There's no guarantee of that, but there is a worse kind of a famine, and Amos talks about it in chapter 8, verse 11. By the way, this famine is already here. Amos 8 and verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." The worst kind of famine. Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts tonight and give us what we need from your word and challenge us about this famine, this worst kind of famine of hearing the words of the Lord. We so desperately, desperately need to hear the words of the Lord. And so I pray you'll help us to listen tonight while we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Certainly, if there was a famine of bread, that would be a bad thing. We like to eat. We need to eat. Certainly, if there was a famine of water, that would be a bad thing. We must have water. We're required to drink so much water, and so that would be a very bad thing. But the Bible makes it very clear there is a famine here that is a, and I believe it's a worse kind of a famine, and that is the hearing the words of the Lord is what it says in verse 11. It says, "The days come, say the Lord, I will send a famine in the land." And he said, it's not a famine of bread or thirst of water. It's a hearing the words of the Lord. And the result, verse 12, is they wander. You know, when we don't have the word of God, there's only one option, and that is to wander. Just to wander from sea to sea, from north even to the east, run to and fro, seeking, trying to find it. And yet it won't be found. And certainly that famine, many, many ways when you know, God, there comes a place where man just won't listen and God simply removes his word from the people. And, you know, some people change God's word, so it's not his words. That's obviously a famine in their life. Some people reject the word of God. They hear it, but they reject it. They don't like it. Some will change it to make it all fit whatever they want, and then some, they actually reject the word of God after they hear it, and therefore, they also are in a famine. Then the third group is they just ignore it. You know, they have a hard heart. And they ignore the word of God. You know, God's only going to tolerate that so much of a people where we just keep pushing his word away. And then some, of course, they avoid it. And sad to say, that's where a lot of us are. We don't read it. You know, most of us have at least one Bible in our possession. Most of us have several Bibles. I mean, I could go into my home and into my office and my wife's office. We have many Bibles. We have lots of Bibles here at the church, and certainly nobody should be without a Bible. But the sad thing is, it's not the Bible that is sitting in our home or our office and all that. It's the fact that we're not reading that Bible. We have Bibles in our bookstore, and we have all kinds of access to the Word of God, and yet we avoid it by not reading it. We skip church, and we avoid hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And so God sends a famine. You know, this is a great time to mention that many of you will have read through your Bible in 2015, and we're almost there, and some are almost... How many of you have already finished reading through your Bible? All right, several have. Very good. But I want to challenge you now to plan on reading through your Bible in 2016. Again, I'm not saying that you ought to just read it real fast to get through it. I'm saying you ought to have a plan. And there are those that you'll refute. You know, I'm not going to read through my Bible in any year because, well, I just can't get anything out of it. You could if you planned your reading, like you plan your TV time. You could if you'll just plan the time to read it where you can focus and you can pay attention. That's a cop-out and an excuse because you just don't want to read through your Bible in 2016. Amen. Seriously, 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, depending, again, so even say a half hour a day if you want to just read and ponder five chapters a day. And you know, you could read through your Bible, a half hour every day. I know that's not the message, but I want to show you how important it is, because how long is it where that God is going to just kind of watch as we ignore His Word? We have many, like I said, who are changing it so it's not His Word. We have many, and I'm talking about churches. We have many who simply reject the Word of God. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to do it. We have many that ignore the Word of God because they have a hard heart. We have many that avoid it by not reading it, by not going to church. And pretty soon God just sends a famine and says, okay, fine. You're not going to have my Word. And He said, they shall not find it. Now here's the thing. When this famine comes, when we lose the Word of God, when we don't read it, when you and I are not listening to the Word of God, I know your TV show is important, but if you're not getting the Word of God, you're missing out on so many things that God has for us. We miss out on what God has, and we are losing these things now if we're neglecting the Word of God. If you change it, if you reject it, if you ignore it, if you avoid it, then there's several things that are going to be true. And it is the worst possible famine. You know, if somebody runs out of bread, they die. You have to eat. If somebody runs out of water, eventually they die. But you know, minus the Word of God, a lost person goes to hell. There's nothing worse than that. My first point, no heaven. Without the Word of God, no heaven. People don't go to heaven. You wouldn't be able to go to heaven without the Word of God. Do you understand that? I mean, have you ever really thought about that? I grew up in a home, we didn't have the Word of God in our home. I didn't hear the Word of God. Every now and then we were, my family, I wouldn't even call us Creasters where we went at Christmas and Easter. We went maybe every third year, one of those holidays, maybe. I didn't hear the Word of God. Can you imagine? I could be 57 years old and never heard the Word of God. It's possible. Wow, no heaven. How did you hear the Word of God? Yeah, some of you grew up, your parents are Christians, and you grew up going to church. You grew up in a Christian home. You heard the Word of God. Many grew up, you were right here in our nursery, and the nursery workers sat and held you in a rocking chair and sang songs and maybe quoted Scripture. At least I hope they do that. I'd much rather our little babies hear in the nursery the Word of God and songs of God than hear somebody gossip about somebody else. That would seem like a foolish way to have little children involved. I remember Brother Varnum wrote a little poem about that. I should have got that out. But that's not the message. But without the Word of God, there's no heaven. Look at John 20 and verse 31. John 20 and verse 31, it amazes me how we recognize how important the Word of God is. Without it, we would not be saved. Without it, we would not have heard how to be saved. Without it, we would not have heard that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Without it, we wouldn't have known that. But then we kind of, after we get saved, we sort of push it aside. Doesn't make sense. John 20 verse 31 says, but these are written, talking about the words in the Bible. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This book, these words are written that I can have life. Without it, will you talk about a famine? No heaven. No heaven. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven tonight? Aren't you glad when we celebrate Christmas, we know it's not about the big fat guy? Aren't you glad we know? Boy, that'd be discouraging if it was, because we would all get coal. Amen. Isn't that true? Well, who's good? The Bible says none's good. I'll get on that another time. I can tell you're not in the mood. The psalmist said this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. How did I get saved? I had to find out I was a sinner. How did I find that out? From the Word of God. Amen. That's how you found out too. Somebody didn't just walk up to you, and it's sad to say, some soul winners may do this, you're a sinner! No, the best way is simply take your Bible and show people, here's what the Bible says, we're all sinners. Aren't you glad that verse is in the Bible? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm so glad it's in there. When I first got saved and started going soul winning, Brother Livermore, I was really on fire, and I didn't mind until, you're a sinner! See that beer in your hand, buddy? You're wicked! See that cigarette? You're a heathen! I liked all that stuff. But I found out that didn't win a whole lot of people to Christ. But to be able to take the words of God, here's what God said. God said all have sinned. And by the way, when you tell somebody that, you always should include, that's me. We're sinners. And you know, God's word, without it, you wouldn't know you're a sinner. Without it, we would have no idea we needed to be saved. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Notice, again, a verse we use over and over and over again. I don't think we could use it too much. It's 1 John 5:13. You know, it is so precious. But what we leave out is, these things have I written unto you. He said, I've written these to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He said, I've written them to you. You that are saved, I've written some things to you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You understand that not only, I mean, there's no heaven, but I wouldn't even have assurance of heaven if I didn't have the Word of God. I would have never, there'd never be a time I would know it. Are you listening? There would be no peace. There would be no, there's no way to know. Faith, my Bible says, cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. How did you call upon the Lord to save you? Did he appear to you in the sky? Did he somehow write something across it? No. Somebody took a little gospel tract, or they took their New Testament, or they opened up their Bible, or a preacher preached from the Bible and read to you the words of God. And you believed. How did you believe? You know, people all the time, well, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, but that's not how we're saved. We're saved by faith. Amen. And we believe. How do we believe? Because we saw it written in the Word of God. Praise God for that. And you know, Romans 10, verse 13. Go there real quick. Romans 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We use that verse over and over and over. Berean Baptist Church people, our teenagers, our adults, our junior churches, our shepherd's ministry, our soul winning ministry, our fair tent, our, you know, what we're doing, our vacation Bible school, over and over and over and over and over, and that's the way it should be. And somebody needs to be telling people, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But look what else it says. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But where did they get that gospel? Right out of the Word of God. You know what? There's no heaven. There's nobody getting saved. There's no, because there's nobody believing, because there's nothing to believe. That's the way most of the world is. That's the famine of really most of the world. You have to understand. It's why they're wandering. It's why they have no place to look. They go from sea to sea, from the north even to the east, and yet here we are with Bibles. All over this room, there's Bibles. Back in the bookstore, there's Bibles. Offices all around, Bibles. Amen. We ought to thank God. And you say, boy, I'm glad I got saved. And I'm glad you got saved. But how about this? How about the Bible after you get saved? Let's see what else we would lose if we didn't have the Word of God and if there was this famine of the reading or hearing the words of God. And number one, there's no heaven. Number two, there's no holiness. Now, I know that'd make a whole lot of people happy. That would make the church at Corinth happy. They were the carnal Christians. Talked about it this morning. Nobody likes it. My Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against God. He said, I've hidden your word in my heart because I don't want to sin. I know sin is not right and it is not holy. And I'm trying to be holy because he said that there is a beauty of holiness. He's never said there's a beauty of sinfulness. And I want to be holy, and so I'm going to hide God's word. But if there's a famine of God's word. That's why, you know what, Dad? That's why you might be having trouble at home. Because you've allowed a famine of hearing the words of the Lord in your home. You might have a famine. And honestly, I think about this so many times with people whose lives there's sin and you can tell, and maybe they come and they talk to me and there's sin in their life and I always ask, are you reading your Bible? Have you been reading your Bible? No, we don't read the Bible. And we're hit and miss in church. And you know, a lot of people that are hit and miss in church, when they come, they just kind of sit there. And they're not really paying attention. Now, again, I'm not the judge and that. I'm just saying, if there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, there's no holiness. And everybody just does whatever they want to do. You know what happened in Noah's day, right? Yeah. It was a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Without the Bible, if this famine takes place, without the Word of God, I sin. Without the Word of God, you sin. You say, well, I sin anyway. Yeah, I understand that. It's a battle enough. But imagine without the Word of God, there's no holiness. That's our world today, folks. That's the people that have rejected the Word of God. They've said we want nothing to do with it. It's out of our public schools. Look at our public schools. Look at what's happening in our public schools. Because there's no Word of God. It's a famine. It's a famine. There's no heaven. There's no holiness. In this famine, there's no hope. There's no hope. Romans 15, verse 4. Boy, I see this in the world today. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord producing no hope. Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's what the Word of God gives us. You know, when you come to church and you listen and you let God speak to your heart, you walk out the doors and there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. You can hear the news. You can put up with the news. You can understand there are people that hate you. You can understand that there are people that like to kill you. You can understand that there are religions that are going totally a different direction. And people are dying all over our world with terrorism. And yet you can walk out and say, but there's hope. There's hope. You can read all the bad news and hear all the bad news, but you can have hope because you listen to the Word of God. You heard a song from a quartet that is a song based on Scripture. Then Jesus came. All hope was lost. Then Jesus came. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. When the fullness of the time. How do you know that? Because my Bible told me that. And I have hope that when the fullness of the time has come, He's coming again. Don't know when that is. I just know it's going to be when it's supposed to be. Amen. Praise the Lord, just like it was the first time. And He doesn't predict it. He makes it. Oh, you're here today and you say, you know, I just don't have hope. I would ask you, have you been reading your Bible? Have you been listening? Have you been paying attention in church and listening to preaching and teaching? And, you know, I'm talking about hope so that we can make it every day. So we can make it day by day, no matter what. So that when we're on the mountain, we have hope that it's going to get better. And so we're in the valley, we have hope that it's going to get better. And we always can have that hope. Hope when we're down, that it's going to be up. Hope when it's dark, that the light is going to shine. Hope when there's pain, that one day we'll be pain-free. Hope when there's sorrow, that God's going to turn our sorrow into joy. And hope when there's a death, that there's life. Eternal. But if there's a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord, there is no hope. I challenge you today, if you're feeling like there's no hope, it could be you've let that famine of hearing the words of the Lord into your life. No heaven, no holiness, no hope. Number four, there's no happiness. There's no happiness. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and 18. We always quote the first part of this verse, but we never quote the second part. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Watch what it says. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Happy. You can't keep the law if you don't have the law. You can't keep the law if you don't know the law. You can't keep the law if you ignore the law. You can't keep the law if you reject the law. No, there's only one way to keep the law, to be happy, and that is to have it and to obey it, to do what it says. I've never found anybody who's doing right, and I mean doing right, that wouldn't say, you know, I'm happy. I've talked to a whole lot of people doing wrong that aren't happy. I've talked to a whole lot of people. Solomon talks in Proverbs about, you know, not having peace when you do wrong because you're always looking over your shoulder. The child that did wrong, that knows they're about to get caught, they're not happy at all. How in the world do we think we can do wrong and not get caught? Do we somehow think God has had his back turned or something? No happiness. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. He's content. He's at peace with his God. But if there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, nobody's going to be happy. Nobody's going to be happy. And in America, we're rejecting it over and over and over and over. And God's people are not reading it. God's people are ignoring it. God's people are rebelling against it. And they're not going to be happy. It's not possible. Number five, there's no humility. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. The worst kind of famine, if this famine happens, there will be no humility. Where the word of God is not being preached, where the word of God is not being read, there's no humility. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the word of God shows us other people just like us? It's humbling. It's humbling. So many times as I read about someone else in the Bible, I see me. Boy, that's me. That's what I do. And then I see it didn't work out too well for them. And it's a humbling thing. And yet it's a blessing as well, because God still used them. God still blessed them. It's so good to see these examples to remind us of our failures, and yet to remind us that we can call on the Lord who will lift us up and help us. They did. David got right with God. Read Psalm 51 sometime. He got right with God. Oh, David, the king, got right with God. Who am I to not have to get right with God? Peter got right with God. Peter, who was so bold and so strong, well, I've got it under control. And God wanted him to learn, you need to let me have control. Praise God. Jonah got right with God after being swallowed by the whale. What a blessing. You ever been swallowed by a whale? Well, not really. Yeah, but did it ever feel like you were swallowed by a whale? Yeah. Yeah, and Paul in Romans chapter 7, I want to do right, but I fail. I don't want to do wrong, but I do it. Praise God. You know, without the word of God, there's no mirror to show me what I really look like. There's nothing to show me who I really am. There's nothing to show me that I've got a lot that needs to be done, and he's got a lot of work to do on me. No humility without the word of God. And again, we're a proud, proud nation. We're a proud people. We have a Christianity that is very, very proud. Look at how I look, and look at how... You know what? Here's what it's all about. It's all about, Lord, you know who I am. Change me. Make me. Mold me. Make me what I need to be. But without the word of God, he isn't going to do it. Yeah. Boy, get your Bible out tonight. Get your Bible out tomorrow. Get your Bible out every day. Open it up. Read it. Read it. Read it. Because the worst kind of famine is a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. It's a famine of sitting in church and not paying attention. It's a famine of hearing it, but not letting it sink in. It's the famine of... It's a famine of, I don't need to read my Bible. Because with that famine, there's no heaven, there's no holiness, there's no hope, there's no happiness, there's no humility. Number six, there's no help. I don't know about you, but I need help. Amen. I really need help. Psalm 119, verse 105, you know this verse. Let's go ahead and look at it. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And without it, I stumble and I fall through life. How a Christian expects anything good to happen absent the word of God? I don't know. Because it won't. Without it, I stumble and fall. Thank God for his help. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable, that means it's for me, it's good for me. It is profitable for doctrine, teaching. And in Ephesians, we've learned that we learn doctrine to find out all that God's done. We as Christians, we're so afraid of learning the doctrines. Oh, those are deep things. No, those are all blessings of what God's doing and what God's done in my life. Doctrine is a friend. It's a good thing. And it is profitable to me for doctrine, for reproof. Well, I don't like reproof. I don't like anybody to tell me. But you need reproof. That's a problem with most preaching today. There is no reproof in it. There is no correction in it. We don't like that. We like the instruction. Well, we just, you know, we came to church to be taught. You know, chastening is teaching. Amen? It's discipline is teaching. That's what it means. And reproof and correction. Reproof. Don't do that! Correction. Here's what you need to do. Amen. We need that. I go back again just so often thinking of when Brenda and I first started going to church and you know, every message was at me and her with her mini skirts. And I mean, every message, it didn't matter what he could have preached on getting baptized, and I was already baptized, but to me, it was all my sin. Because it was just preaching the Word of God. And boy, you know, that vein on the side of his head, you could count his, you could see his pulse. He got to preaching and yelling. And I would tell her after that, I'd say, we're not coming back here. And then we'd be back. And without that, oh, thank God. Thank God for Bible college and sitting there and being reproved and being corrected over and over and over and over again, because I didn't know what to do. And you know what? None of us do. Without the Word of God, we would have no clue. We need help. We need His help. Colossians 3 and verse 16, go back to that. Colossians 3, 16. And here's what you can get. You ever read Proverbs and then, of course, Ecclesiastes and we see how God gave Solomon all that wisdom. You know, just amazing the wisdom that God can give. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The best counselor in the world is the word of God. You know, people go to counselors and teachers, and you know, they go to all, but the best counseling is to just go to the dear Holy Spirit of God and say, God, I need your wisdom. If you come to me for counsel, understand this, before you walk through the door, I'm begging God to give me wisdom. How about if you would beg God every day to give you wisdom? Yeah, but without the Word of God, we wouldn't have that. And we would just be good old-fashioned, stupid us. Right? That's us. Unwise, foolish decisions. I need help. I need His help. Romans 15, verse 4, we already read it, but let's look at it again. Romans 15, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort. Boy, sometimes that comfort of the scriptures, What a blessing that is. Just reading the scriptures. Comfort of the scriptures. You know, you get in an unpraising mood and you get into the Psalms and pretty soon you're praising him. Amen. I mean, seriously. You start feeling kind of foolish about things and you get in Proverbs and pretty soon you start to feel a little bit wise about some things. I mean, he's a helper. He wants to help us, but he never helps outside of his word. You understand? You cannot push the word of God out of your life and then somehow expect God to help you. It's like people come to me and they say, well, you know, I'd like to get counseling from you. And I said, there's only one thing you have to do, and that is you have to go to church here, and I will counsel you. Well, I just want to sit in your office and get counsel. I said, no, because the most and best counseling I do is from the pulpit. Then you can come and we can talk about things and that's fine. But you have to come and hear the counseling from the pulpit. And God says, I've given you my words. Read it. And I'll give you help. I'll give you wisdom. I will give you knowledge. I will give you help. I will give you comfort. I'll do all those things for you, but you're not going to get it in a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And sad to say, many of us bring that famine on ourselves. And when there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, to me it's the worst kind because there's no heaven, there's no holiness, there's no hope, there's no happiness, there's no humility, there's no help. And then the last thing, number seven, there's no honor. There's no honor. What are you talking about? Look at Joshua 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You may have this verse memorized. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Again, if I don't know it, I can't do it. If I don't know it, if I'm not meditating on the things of God, then I'm meditating on other things, and I may do those other things, but I'm not able to do God's thing because I'm not meditating on God's thing. I'm meditating on other things, and they may not be bad things. But he said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. God did not give us his word so that we would just read it and meditate on it and then do nothing. He gave us his word so that we would read it and we would meditate on it and then we would do what it says. Amen. Because he said this. He says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. And one day, hear from Jesus, well done. Now right now, I know that doesn't sound that appealing. But I promise you, it will sound appealing in that day. No honor. No honor. Because whatever success I may have in this world, it brings glory to him. That's where the honor needs to go. But with a famine of hearing the words of God, there's no honor. There'll be no well done. How could you do well if you don't know what to do? Well, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't cuss. But there's so much more. There's so much more in our Christian life. There's so much that God wants you to learn. There's so much God wants to do in our lives. There's so much that God has for us. And not hearing the words of the Lord, whether we're changing those words by getting some weird version out there or neglecting those words by rejecting the words or ignoring the words or avoiding the words by not reading our Bible and studying our Bible. Listen. There's no honor. There is no, in that famine, there will not be glory to God with your life. I think about so many Christians' lives that are just nothing. And that, instead of a glory to God, that's a shame to God. What could you be? What could you do if you just let God's word do its work in your heart and your life? My Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I didn't write that. Now, I understand the teaching is important. I understand the doctrine is important. I understand the reproof is important. I understand all of that within the words of God are important. But my God said this, that I need every it. I need every the. I need parbar westward. I don't even know what it means. But I need it. It's pretty foolish. Yeah, you listen to me. We need every word. I need the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee. I need that. You need that. I need the genealogies. Brother Livermore, I don't know, you know, all those genealogies. Remember when you first started studying that and you thought, why am I studying this? You need it, that's why. Why? Because you need every word. You need every jot, every tittle. You need it all. Every part of it. Everything. We need it. Why? Because God said we wouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And guess what? I have it. I have every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God that he put in writing that I could have. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. You say, what's that all about? I don't know right offhand, but I can tell you this, I need it. And you need it. You say, well, I skip some of the hard stuff. I don't read things I don't understand. You need to read things you don't understand. And you need to read it anyway. I don't know about you, but I do remember as a little child when see Jane run. Well, I didn't care what Jane was doing. Why am I reading about see Jane run? One of our favorite books Angela had, it said, the pig sat in the mud. She'd come home and say, I have to read that 40 times. Really? The pig sat in the mud. Why do you have to read that so many? I don't know. Teacher said I have to read that. The pig sat in the mud. I'm going to stay away from the pig because I don't want to get muddy, right? Listen to me. We somehow have this idea. And again, I'm not talking about, it's magical. I don't believe in magic. I just believe there's a God who is supernatural and he'll use his word in my life. I need to read every word. Sometime in our life, shouldn't we read every word? When I was young, I especially liked Richie Rich comic books. Did anybody else read Richie Rich? Oh, wow, a lot of sinners in here. Tim Cook, I would never have thought. Well, yeah, I should have thought. You're hoping he comes to our church. We're going to lead that boy to the Lord, folks, I'm telling you, and get him tithing. But you know what I would do? I'm serious about this. Brother Lou, I would get a comic book, and I would, remember when they were 12 cents? You had them, didn't you? So did I, 12 cents, and then they were 25 cents. You could get a 12-cent one or a 25-cent one, and sometimes all I could get was a 12-cent. And I would read it from cover to cover. I read the Grit. Remember Grit? How many of you know what I'm talking about with Grit? Yeah, the Grit advertisement. I'd read every word. Oh, wow, this is wonderful. I remember the first time I saw in a Superman comic book the word catastrophe. And I called it catastrophe for years. I don't know what this thing is, but a catastrophe is not good. It is not good. I just read it all. You know why? I loved it. I mean, it was after school, and the cookies would come out, and the big old glass of milk would come out, and cookies and milk and comic books. It was every day. And I read every word because I loved it. You know, folks, honestly, what are you missing? I know some folks are missing heaven because they didn't read the word. They're not listening to the word. I know the Bible teaches that there's no holiness. That's why so many are loose with their living, because they're not in this book. I know there's no hope. No wonder so many Christians are down, discouraged. They're not in the book. There's no happiness. I'm amazed how many Christians, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we're celebrating, and there's a lot. No humility. We're so stuck on ourselves. No help. No honor. That's how it ends up. That's how it ends up. Read it, heed it, meditate on it, and obey it. Otherwise, there will be a famine. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.